tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 22nd of June 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I had a particularly fun weekend. I went out with Patriotic Alternative Wales and we had a look around Monmouthshire, looking at standing stones, Longbarrows, Holywell, Castle, various old churches, just basically finding out more about our heritage. It was a beautiful sunny day in good company, and just appreciating all these things that our ancestors created. We saw a 13th century priory. It was in ruins, and there was a couple that were going through a hand fasting there in part of it, which is, I guess it's the best way to describe it, is a pagan wedding. It was just a really pleasant day, and we had a meal afterwards. And this is the sort of thing that Patriotic Alternative get up to. We have cultural events. We don't just do protests, don't just do outreach to political prisoners. We also have cultural events that we do, and just interesting things where you learn about your heritage. And if anybody is interested in doing that, they should get in touch with their Patriotic Alternative region. And you can do that by going to patrioticalternative.org.co.uk and look up how you can get involved, and you'll see that there is an email address there for the different regions. And if you want to come out and do these sort of things with me, then join up with the Patriotic Alternative Wales region. You won't regret it. Well, as I say, I had a very pleasant time over the weekend, but there was a knife attack at the weekend, I guess is what they call it in the mainstream media, isn't it? A knife attack, as if it's a knife that's doing the attacking. It was actually a white man that was doing the attacking this time. And they said that it was anti-Muslim hatred. And they showed you that it was a white man straight away. They're very keen to tell us that, very keen to show us the footage. The complete opposite of last weekend, when we had this Sudanese man who was trying to behead a white man, and the press, well, the government were furious about that. They really did not want us to see that. And there were all these calls of tightening up the Online Safety Act to force Elon Musk not to show videos like that. But of course, when it's a white man that's doing the killing or the attempted killing, then they do want us to see the videos. And there's no complaints at all about us seeing this sort of thing. And straight away they said it was anti-Muslim hatred. And I thought, why is it not anti-white hatred when we hear of Islamic extremist attacks and it's white people that are being attacked? Why don't they call it anti-white hatred? If it's a Muslim that's being attacked, it's anti-Muslim hatred. But if it's white people that are being attacked, it's an Islamic extremist attack or an Islamist attack. Does seem as if there are sort of two different standards there. Also, the big news today is that Keir Starmer is resigning. He gave his speech this morning outside Number 10. Like Theresa May, he appeared to crack up a little bit at the end, sort of almost coming to tears, but he managed to bite them back. Apparently, we've had 7 prime ministers now in the last 10 years. I mean, it really does not look good, does it? That's essentially since we had the Brexit vote. There's been chaos at the top, basically. So Keir Starmer is stepping down. There will be a leadership challenge. Keir Starmer will remain in place as the prime minister of the country until September. But he is resigning his position as leader of the Labour Party, So I guess there will be a leadership election, although there may not be, because if Andy Burnham says he's going to step in and he'll be the leader, then perhaps other members of the Labour Party might not even stand against him. So it may just be the crowning of Andy Burnham as the new Prime Minister. He appears to be more left-wing than Keir Starmer, but more pro-Zionist than Keir Starmer. I'll leave you to make of that what you will, and I'm sure we will be talking about that more in the future. The results of that Makerfield by-election, where the Labour Party did so well, and Reform and Restore didn't do as well as we hoped, that is discussed by Mark Collette, and we've got that coming on the Radio Albion live stream straight after this show. You'll be able to hear Mark Collette's analysis of the Makerfield by-election. I'm looking forward to hearing that myself. Now we've got all of those stories out of the way, let's have a look at what we're going to be talking about today. And I'm taking my notes here from Breitbart, and the headline is UK government to pressure social media firms to boost trusted, in quote marks, legacy media outlets like the BBC. And I think this is something that's been going on since 2017 anyway. And that's not just social media firms, but that's with search engines. Up until that point, you could put in a question, were there gas chambers at Auschwitz, for instance? You could put a question in like that, and you would get all the results for that, and the most popular results would be at the top. And there was a question that was similar to that, and the most popular results was a Stormfront forum page, and that was at the top of the results. And because of this, they effectively broke the search engines and said instead of putting the most popular content at the top, the most popular content has to go elsewhere if the popular content is not politically correct enough. So they changed it to some Holocaust organisation instead, and they made that the number one result. So that I think that was pretty much the first time they faked the number one results in the Google rankings. And then they went on from there to do it to all sorts of subjects. You will find that instead of getting the most popular results, or instead of finding out the information that you're looking for, you'll be told that the most popular results is something completely different. Now, for a while, you could get around this with Yandex, and you could look things up on Yandex, which is the Russian search engine. And also that's helpful if you're looking up music or you're looking up books, because the Yandex search engine will still come up with free versions of books and free versions of music, whereas again Google and the Western search engines, they don't give you these sorts of results. I mean, it can be difficult even to find an anime website with free anime on it using Western search engines, so Yandex can get around that. But even Yandex now doesn't seem to have so much of that on there. And now they're forcing it onto the social media firms as well, which I thought they were probably already doing that. I think they already do it on YouTube. When you look for news on YouTube, you will get BBC and Sky. They will be at the top of the results rather than eyewitness accounts, for instance. So I think this is already going on at YouTube. Now they're going to try and force it upon Elon Musk. And of course, the thing is, who's to say what is trusted media? I mean, look at the BBC. I mean, how can people trust the BBC? Just this month, we were told that when Nigel Farage was on Question Time, and for our American listeners or European listeners, that's a panel show where they have four or five politicians and they're supposed to answer genuine questions from the audience. And in the audience, they had planted refugees, and the refugees had been coached by refugee activist organisations to ask specific questions. So the whole thing was rigged. And yet the UK government are saying this company that rigs what is supposed to be public question time, their results should be boosted to the top of the rankings. And of course, there's not just that. There's with Donald Trump, when they claimed that Donald Trump had called for people to go to the Capitol building and fight like hell, which is not what he said. They doctored his speech, and he's famously suing them, I think, for $5 billion for defamation in doing that. Again, that's an instance where the BBC faked things. You've got the Southport riots that were sparked effectively by the BBC lying about who it was that had carried this out and saying that it was a Welsh choir boy when it wasn't. It was the son of Rwandan immigrants that carried out that atrocity. So there are all these instances of the BBC faking information. And yet now you have the government saying, well, they are the trusted legacy media outlet. We need to trust the BBC. Well, I don't trust the BBC. I don't think any of our listeners trust the BBC. Let's see what Breitbart is reporting about this. The British government is reportedly planning to pressure large social media companies to actively promote the BBC and other legacy media outlets in a bid to confront disinformation. And of course, the people that were pointing out that Axel Rudi Cabana wasn't a Welsh choir boy, they were the ones putting out the truthful information. The BBC that was saying that it was a Welsh boy, that was the disinformation. And as I say, that's not the only instance of this. And who is it that decides whether something is information or disinformation? In America a while back, they were going to have the equivalent of a Ministry of Truth that was going to decide what was truthful and what wasn't. And of course, they stopped doing that because it was just far too Orwellian. But this is their technique now. They've gone from saying, well, you're not allowed to use hate speech. And so people don't use hate speech. They don't say anything insulting, abusive or threatening. And then it gets called disinformation, which isn't against the law. But it's a negative term. It's saying that what you're putting out there is false information. And a lot of the time it's not false information. It's the truthful information that is being put out by the alternative media. The disinformation is coming from the mainstream media. Another instance of this, when Henry Novak was murdered, the police wanted to put out a statement claiming that Henry Novak was the aggressor. Twice the family had to change the statement to prevent the police from making Henry out to be the aggressor. That was the disinformation, what the police were wanting to put out, not what the alternative media were saying. Amidst increasing attempts by the UK government to police mainly American social networks. And again, I mean, you've got to have some audacity to think that you can tell another country's social media networks how they have to operate. Including the impending ban on under 16s, Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer's administration is said to be interested in fundamentally altering algorithms in favour of so-called trusted news outlets. And they always talk about these algorithms, but these algorithms, basically, they show you what they think you want to see based on your previous viewing. We had the former Home Office Minister, I momentarily forget her name, for the Labour Party, and I can recall her complaining about red ice. I said, horrible, horrible white supremacist red ice, and YouTube are recommending it to her. Well, the only reason they would have been recommending red ice to her is if she had been looking at other nationalist content. They don't just refer you to this stuff by accident. If they did that, the companies wouldn't be successful. The companies are successful because they show you more of the content that you have already told the company that you are interested in. That's the way that these things work. And they're effectively saying that they want to break the algorithm so that instead of it showing you what it thinks you want to see, they want it to just show you the BBC and other companies that the government have decided will give the correct information to the public. And I said a lot of the time, that won't be including the eyewitness reports. It's the eyewitness reports that will give you the truthful information. According to a report from London's Daily Telegraph, Downing Street is set to hold talks this week on plans to require companies such as Facebook and YouTube to prioritise content produced by publicly owned media broadcasters like the BBC and Channel 4. And Channel 4 are notoriously left-wing. They're probably even more left-wing than the BBC. I mean, you could, if they're going to do something like this, they could make some semblance of balance by saying, can you prioritise GB News as well as a right-wing channel? I mean, GB News aren't really that right-wing. They're just do have a policy of allowing both the right and the left on there. They will have left-wing people on there, and they'll let them speak. They won't interrupt them. And they will also have right-wing people on there, and they'll let them speak, and they won't interrupt them. If it's the BBC or Channel 4, they won't show you these right-wing thoughts. They'll pretend that the debate has already been answered. There is no debate. And to complain about things like immigration means that you're a right-wing thug. I mean, that's the sort of attitude that they have. So the government are saying to Facebook and YouTube they need to prioritise this left-wing content effectively, which is what X was doing before Elon Musk took over, wasn't it, really? When it was Jack Dorsey's Twitter. And as soon as Elon Musk took over, he got these journalists to go through what were called the Twitter files, and they exposed it all. All this left-wing bias and promoting of false stories and tanking other stories like the Hunter Biden laptop and pretending that that was disinformation when it wasn't. It was truthful information, and they deliberately buried that. So effectively what the government are going to do is they're going to go to Elon Musk and say, we want you to put it back how it was at Twitter, putting up fake news stories and calling it trusted news stories. I hope Elon Musk doesn't give into this, but that is effectively what they're doing. They're saying, we want it to go back to this censorship regime that they used to be. However, the plans do not appear to be merely an attempt to prop up the BBC's declining popularity, as the report claims the government is also intent on pressuring social media firms to promote legacy private media, including ITV. So it's effectively all the mainstream media. They want to cut the alternative media out from the search rankings. The broadsheet cited anonymous sources within the Department for Culture, Media and Sport, who are said to have asserted that in pressuring social media companies to prioritise such outlets, it would help the British public discover trusted news sources on the internet, as if the British public didn't know that the BBC or ITV or Channel 4 existed. The government is said to believe that legacy outlets have waned in popularity because of social media algorithms, rather than consumers simply preferring other content. I mean, that's the reason why it's not popular. It's because people prefer the alternative media, because they know that the alternative media isn't going to give you this left-wing bias and spin to it. They're not going to lie to you and pretend that somebody of migrant heritage is a Welsh choir boy, for instance. I mean, people are never going to let the mainstream media down for that, because that was the cause of all the riots. And yet, even today, the mainstream media will say, oh, well, these riots were sparked by disinformation. They won't tell you that the disinformation that sparked the riots was the mainstream media's own disinformation. So they want to break the algorithms. They're blaming these algorithms for this, the fact that people don't trust the media anymore. It's like when they blame social media for people protesting against a beheading taking place in Belfast. It wasn't the social media that caused the protests. It was the attempted beheading. And instead of preventing further beheadings, all the government are concerned about is trying to silence the people that were warning the public about the beheadings. It's like they want to shoot the messenger. They, instead of actually making the country safer for people, they just want to prevent people from hearing about the harm and the danger that's going on outside their homes. And that's not the way to run a country, is it? It's rather like brushing all the dust under the carpet and expecting it just to go away. You know, we'll just hide these news stories and hope that it goes away. It won't go away, and it will get worse if the government don't do anything about it. Despite apparently being held up by the British government as a trusted news source, the BBC has been embroiled in major scandals over the veracity of its reporting in the past year. The BBC even has a department which supposedly BBC Verify or something like that. And they're supposed to be the arbiters of whether something's been verified or not, whether something is truthful or not. And even their BBC Verify have been caught out putting out fake information. You know, the only way to determine whether something is truthful or not is to investigate it for yourself and look at the eyewitness accounts. And even when you see these requests that are put up by the victims of diversity atrocities, and they put out their speeches. Even that's been interfered with, as we talked about last week. This RECU organization, they come in and they effectively get the victim's family to write what they want them to write. They do it in a very clever way. It's not like they go in there and say, you have to write this, but they will subtly influence them while making the victim's family believe that it's their idea to put these terms down. And also in the news today, Rhiannon White's mother — Rhiannon White was the young lady that was working at a migrant hotel, and a couple of dozen times she was stabbed in the head by a screwdriver by a black migrant, stabbed her to death. And she's come out, and she's in the news today, saying that the police or some department went around there to help her craft her victim impact statement, the statement that was given out to the public. So, I mean, she says that this was being changed. She was literally knocked over last week. She was at a protest, trying to protest about the fact that her daughter was murdered by illegal immigrant, and Stand Up to Racism were there, and they knocked her over flat on the ground. And as she also wrote a letter to Keir Starmer, saying, look, why have you not come to speak to me? You come to speak to Henry Novak's family. Why have you not come to speak to me when my daughter was murdered by one of these illegal immigrants that you put up in these hotels? I'm sure that if it was a black person that had been murdered by somebody white, in a hate-filled attack, that Prime Minister would be around there speaking to them, wouldn't he? I mean, look at what happened with Stephen Lawrence. There was a whole inquiry that took place around it. So you can see this two-tier system, just from the way that Rhiannon White's mother is being treated. And as I say, she pointed out that she was advised, I would say she was probably manipulated without realising it, in the statement that she put forth after her daughter was viciously murdered by an illegal immigrant. For example, last November, then BBC Director General Tim Davey and the CEO of BBC News, Deborah Turness, were forced to resign after a January 6th documentary materially misled viewers into thinking that President Donald Trump had called on his supporters to riot by splicing together different segments of his speech. And that was absolutely scandalous that they could do that. I can remember seeing that at the time. I think I was watching it on my parents' caravan television. I can remember saying, that's false. That is not what Donald Trump said. And I think my mother was saying, oh, it's on the documentary. We just saw him say it. And I said, well, they had two different camera shots there when he was saying it. And I know for a fact that he didn't say that. So I can remember when it was on and people were misled by this, and they thought that Donald Trump had called on his supporters to go to the Capitol and fight like hell, effectively ordered them to riot, which of course he hadn't. And this is the sort of thing that you see on the mainstream media. This is why people don't trust the mainstream media. It's not because the algorithms show them more of the alternative media that they have already been watching. The following month, the British public broadcaster was forced to admit that it had shared fake news about President Trump supposedly wanting to put former Congresswoman Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad, when in reality he had merely used the rhetorical chicken hawk argument, saying that she should be willing to fight in a war if she was calling for one. Well, the pot's calling the kettle black there, isn't it, really? I mean, Donald Trump should not be expecting people to go to fight in Iran if he's not willing to send his son over there to fight in Iran. I mean, he's making this argument here about Liz Cheney, but he's equally as guilty as these previous politicians are for going on pointless wars in the Middle East. If people listened to the podcast I did with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson last Thursday, we said, how long do you think it will be before Israel breaks this ceasefire and this new deal collapses? And I said, I think it will be within a week. Well, it was within 24 hours, wasn't it? Within 24 hours, Israel were bombing Lebanon again, and they were saying that Hezbollah had killed four IDF soldiers. So straight away, that ceasefire has been broken, and they're and they're fighting again. And none of that was necessary. It's all because Donald Trump decided to just go into Iran when every president before him had been given the same nonsense by Bibi Netanyahu about Iran being just 2 days away from a nuclear weapon. And yet he chose to go along with what they said, and he ignored his own American advisors and listened to these Israeli advisors. And that's why he went to that war. So he's just as guilty as Cheney about sending people off on pointless and needless wars. More recently, the BBC issued an apology to Brexit leader Nigel Farage earlier this month after one of its presenters shared altered quotes from the Reform boss on multiple occasions. I mean, this is not like they made a mistake here. On multiple occasions, they have altered quotes from Nigel Farage to make him say something completely different to what he actually did say. And you think, and the government are now saying that Twitter and YouTube have to prefer this content. They have to artificially put this content to the top of the search rankings and boost this sort of content that gives out false information about their political opponents. The apparent plans to pressure social media to promote the BBC and other legacy outlets come amidst a broader push to control what the British public can see online, with the government set to impose a social media ban on all children under 16. And I do think that is so scandalous. And if you think about the amount of time the youngsters spend on the internet, I mean, the average, I think, is 7 hours a day. And if you think they might be being bullied at school, they've got an online network of people that they talk to online. They've got friends that they talk to online that maybe don't live in the area that they're from. And you're just taking that away from them. In one fell swoop, they're just destroying the whole social network of everybody under the age of 16. I think it's absolutely scandalous. I think it's not good that children are addicted to scrolling. It's not good that they're using these smartphones. But it's up to the parents to limit the amount of time that they use them for. And what they should be doing is saying, well, they're not allowed in schools. They're banned in schools. You don't use them at school. Which means that they would get 8 hours a day away from the phone. And they would have to get more involved in social interactions. I mean, this is the real problem, is that because they're spending so much time online, they're not getting the same education in their social interactions as people used to. And they're finding it difficult to do things in social situations because of that. So there is a real problem with this. But the solution is not to just ban children under the age of 16 from using the social media. I think that's such a horrendous thing to do. Ban them at schools. But then when the children are out from the schools and they're at home, it's up to the parents. And you can't have parents effectively watching the television, watching their smartphones, and then saying to the children, well, you're not allowed to watch the television. You're not old enough to. When they know that all around the world there are others under the age of 16 that are able to use social media, and they know that they used to be able to use social media. I mean, they tell us we cannot deport people that we've given indefinite leave to remain to, because they've already been told they've got indefinite leave to remain, so we can't deport them. Well, what about children using social media? They've been told they can use social media all this time. You can't just take that freedom away from them, take that right away from them. I do think it's the wrong thing to do. And I really do hope that it bites Labour on the behind. I can imagine that everybody under the age of about 25 won't be happy about them banning social media for under 16s, and they will vote against Labour because of it, I hope. Particularly the ones that are 16 years old, because all these left-wing parties have lowered the voting age to 16, and this could very well politicise these youngsters. I certainly hope it does. I'd be very pleased to see that, and it would be poetic justice as well if all the youngsters voted against the left for taking away their social media. Critics have warned that the plans will likely require all adults to obtain a form of digital ID to prove they are not children. This is the other side of it. It's a sneaky way of forcing everybody to get digital ID, because if you want to use social media, you'll have to prove that you're over the age of 16. And in order to do that, you'll have to give your ID, won't you? So they're getting rid of anonymity on the internet through the back door by claiming that the real reason for this is to ban children from seeing social media. So it serves two purposes. It means that the youngsters won't be able to find the alternative media. They won't be able to find a plurality of views of what's going on in the news. And at the same time, it means that adults will have to prove who they are to use the social media channels. So, I mean, it's they're killing two birds with one stone, really. That's what the government are doing. Of course, an argument against that is that these companies that do verify people's age, I saw one of them being interviewed the other day, and he said that they only hold on to that information for seconds while they're doing this. They're not allowed by law to keep a database of the ID information, because that would be a huge risk, as well as breaking the law in quite a serious way. And he said that this information is literally just there while it's verified, and then it's deleted, and they're not allowed to do anything else with it. Now, of course, you could say, oh yes, well, they'll say it's deleted, but surely the intelligence agencies will have access to that. And they probably will, but on the paperwork, on the face of it, they wouldn't be able to do this, and it would be illegal. But of course, intelligence agencies are a law unto themselves, basically, with gathering intelligence. Also, you've got the fact that, particularly with Twitter in America, the company that does the verifying is a Jewish company. It's based in Israel, which means that if anybody is posting content that is critical of the Jewish power structure or Jewish behavior in any way, and they want to verify their account, it means that the very people that they're criticizing will be given their information on where they live, and you just have to trust them not to keep that information. So it's would you trust an Israeli company with your information, your identity, trust them not to keep that identity if you were critical of Judaism or Israel? I think it's one of the main reasons why people don't get properly verified on X is because of that. Others have warned that youngsters will likely get around the ban by using services such as VPNs, which the government has also hinted may be banned. And one of the other things they said is if you want to use a VPN, then you would have to give your identity first. And again, that sort of destroys the whole point of having a VPN, isn't it? Is that it's supposed to anonymize what you're doing online, so people can't steal all your data, basically. So we'll have to see what happens there. I'm not surprised that the government are doing this, that they're trying to force X and YouTube to artificially boost the mainstream media results. But I would hope that Elon Musk manages to stand against this. I would hope that YouTube do as well. I mean, it's a real sort of onslaught against basic democratic freedoms that America has, that they're trying to, that Britain is trying to remove and prevent America from having that freedom for themselves in America and around the world. And also, because what they're effectively doing is they're asking Elon Musk to undo everything, all the good work that he's done in removing the censorship from X. And they're saying, we want you to promote these left-wing news sites again. So, as I say, I would hope that he refuses to go along with that. And also, YouTube, I think, have been quite good in speaking out against this ban against social media as well, because they've said, look, that's just going to put children towards other sites that are not as scrupulous as we are in removing content that shouldn't be on there. So the government are basically going to rub X up the wrong way, and they're going to rub YouTube up the wrong way. So if you want a positive way to look at it, I mean, that could be it. You could say, well, this is certainly not going to make the social media companies think very highly of the British government, is it? And, you know, really, they should say, well, we're just not going to go along with this. And tough. Your laws do not apply in our country. And it's very arrogant of you to think that they do. Anyway, that's about where we're going to leave it for today, I think. There's no more left in that article anyway. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.